Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and we've got a vegetarian coming over, Mum.
Oh, whoopee.
Well, whoopee for you because you didn't bloody do anything.
Now you know.
You were very unsupportive yet again.
Darling, it's because I don't know enough about, but you've done a grand job.
Well,
it looks absolutely...
I've really stressed myself out this week.
I know you have, darling.
Because you know I eat a lot of...
Is it because you quite like the guests?
I mean, he is quite cute. But I just find that when I cook for a vegetarian, I overcompensate and then I do about 10 different dishes. And actually, as my gorgeous friend Bella, who has the Bella's Sherry Cod in the cookbook, says, you've got to let the number one sing. You've got to let the main dish sing.
That's what I said to you yesterday.
I have a choir of dishes today. I don't know which one's going to drown out the other. However, I do think the thing that Bella told me to cook is quite gorgeous.
Oh, it looks fabulous.
It may not taste well, good.
Tell them what it is, darling.
Okay, so it is, I think, what you call a galette. I did get just roll pastry because I can't be dealing with bloody doing pastry. I've got too much shit, other things to do. But what's good about it, which you won't be able to... see, because you're listening to this, you basically peel a butternut squash in strips lengthways, and what you do is kind of make like a rose, and by kind of putting them all together, so it looks really gorgeous. And then it's with cider onions. Now I did shallots because I didn't have onions. Cider onions with butter, like caramelized. We've done a bit of cheddar. I wanted to do goat's cheese, but you said cheddar,
no,
so there
stronger.
We go. Thyme, because I didn't have sage, and rosemary, and then you put it on a shortcrust pastry. It looks nice. Does it taste nice? We don't know. I went to Braun yesterday to celebrate my gorgeous friend Sarah, who is due any day. Well, she's actually overdue,
yesterday,
but we don't talk about that, do we? Your baby is due from this date. So we went to Braun to celebrate, and actually... we went to Campania
That's one of
first.
Your sister's favourite places.
Right, but we went to Campania.
And they wouldn't let you
They fucking locked us out. Just we were there. I like an early lunch, 12 o'clock. Locked us out.
Well, I don't blame them.
Well, anyway,
too
we went
early.
Braun let us in and we had
what
such
time
an amazing.
Were you out by 1 o'clock?
Yeah. Because I had a meeting with the rabbi at 2, Mum.
Why?
To discuss my date for my bat mitzvah.
Did you meet Rabbi Adrian?
Yes, I did.
Is he lovely?
Very nice. Easy breezy.
He was a bookseller in Berlin.
Was he? Well, anyway, now he's my rabbi and we've got a date.
Does he love you?
Fireworks night, Mum.
Oh,
there's going to be
November.
Sparks in that synagogue, I tell you.
Woo!
When I'm reading from that Torah on that bimmer.
Darling, maybe you should have an outside after event so we can have fireworks.
I actually hate fireworks, so no, thank
you. I love
you.
Fireworks.
Anyway, so went to Braun. It was absolutely delicious. I love them. Anybody who lives in London or doesn't, you should always go to Braun. It was so good. But anyway, I had a bitter leaves salad there. So I thought with the butternut squash galette, bitter leaves. So I've done bitter leaves with this. And then, of course, because I'd already got the things for lots of different things, I've done that ottolenghi. Oh, I haven't done it yet. It needs to go in the oven. The blistered tomatoes with the cold yogurt. I've got delicious sourdough from the Snapery Bakery, which I love.
Where is that, darling?
It's in Bermondsey. And
you've been all the way to Bermondsey?
No, I've got Sam to cycle there today. But anyway, so I've got gorgeous sourdough from them because I miss the dusty knuckle.
How do I get it?
And then
it?
I've done a butter bean dip with charred spring onions with the Brindisi butter beans because they're great. So we're having that, and then you've done pud. What have you done?
I've done a chocolate and olive oil cake, and you've brought some berries, and I've brought some fresh cream. You've got some creme fraiche.
I love that you've brought some fresh cream. She's brought like a quarter of a tub of double cream that's probably gone off last week.
No, it's not.
Anyway.
Okay, we won't have it.
So we have comedian, actor, writer, Jamie Demetriou, who...
Is he Greek or Greek Cypriot?
Greek Cypriot. I'm always intrigued by comedians because not only is he a comedian and writer, he was in Fleabag. He was the boyfriend in Fleabag.
Which boyfriend?
The annoying boyfriend with the big teeth.
They were not his teeth.
Anyway, so he was in that. He did Stafflet's Flats. He's won BAFTAs for Stafflet's Flats, which I've watched. And Staff is probably one of the most adorable characters in British television. He's so sweet, though. And great voice, Mum. So I've told him to warm up for you. For karaoke. And he's in this new TV show on Apple TV called The After Party.
It's not on yet.
It's got Alana from Broad City and some other... Tiffany Haddish, who had a bat mitzvah when she was older. A black mitzvah, she called it. Oh, and he was in one of the greatest films that cheered me up when my bloody tour got cancelled. And
Eurovision.
Have you watched it yet, Mum?
No, I haven't, darling.
Jamie Demetriou coming up on Table Manners, probably the only Greek Cypriot vegetarian there is. I mean, a rare species.
Kalispera, Jamie. Cheers, darling.
Cheers, Yamas. Lovely to meet you. Yamas. Oh, God. You're speaking more Greek than my dad.
I've got a house in Greece.
Do you? Whereabouts?
Yeah, a little tiny island.
Well, it's not
Skopelos.
Oh, Skopelo. Yeah, of course.
Skopelo.
Do you know what?
Do you actually know?
Skopelo is, to me, I've been to Skopelo in Sicily, but I've never been in Greece. My dad's actually from Cyprus.
Is he?
So, yeah, I was just trying to do the accent again.
Cyprus?
So he...
Do you speak Greek?
No.
He says it nicely, though.
No. I say things Greekly. But I don't...
Jamie, say your surname with
Dimitriou.
Oh, my God.
No.
That's so attractive.
This is wonderful to be asked that. It makes me feel amazing.
But what? Jamie can't be a Greek name.
No, so...
Yeah.
In fact, do you know what? I can just come straight out of the gates with an answer.
Yeah, straight out the
gates. Oh, my God, come on.
Can you imagine?
Love it.
So, my mum is English.
Okay.
And my dad wanted to call me Dimitri Demetriou.
I think that's great.
You're into that?
You probably have done better in the whole
stupid
world.
You think?
Dimitri has a ring to it.
Are you sad you're not
Well, D-double-E? So he wanted to call me Dimitri Demetriou, and my mum said, obviously not. I want him to have a life. I'm keen that he sort of enjoys his life. And my dad was like, all right. And anyway, apparently they went back and forth about names for ages. And one day they were in the car, and my dad sort of softly said, okay, you don't like Dimitri? How about Jamie Demetriou? And my mum went, wanting to hate it, but she was like, oh, God. Annoyingly, I do actually really like that.
Are you not James?
Well, Jamie. It is Jamie. And so my dad went, okay. And then he turned to the camera and went, little does she know that Jamie in Greek is Dimitri. So my name effectively is Dimitri. Yeah, when I go to Cyprus, when I'd go to Cyprus, people would call me Dimitri and I wouldn't turn and they'd be like, hey!
So Jamie, you know the shtick about the podcast, you know.
I love
And we are so
podcast.
Thrilled to have you on.
Thank you so much.
So tell us about... who was around the dinner table and who's cooking? I've heard a bit about your family through your sister being on Adam Buxton.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But, like, I want to hear from you.
Excuse me, has she got a Greek name?
Natasia. So Natasia is her name.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But everyone calls her Tash and she gets...
Is she not like that? He actually called her Tash.
Well, to be fair to her, she goes officially by the name Tash because she was worried that people would find it difficult going into this world. But I think she's starting to kind of own Natasia a bit more.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
And she's a comedian as well.
She is, comedy actor.
Why is everyone a comedian in your family?
What's going on at that dinner table?
Yeah, no, the funny genes, where do they come from? Dad or your mum?
I feel like I'm going to have to say both and neither.
Okay.
I think that it's like I think that if it comes from anywhere, it comes from me and Tash sort of catching... Natasia. Crap. Catching catching each other's eye when weird stuff was going on. I mean,
what
you.
There's just going on, Jamie.
I mean, my dad is wildly eccentric, like destructively eccentric.
Okay, what does he do? Destructively.
I mean.
No, what's his job?
So he was a chef. Yeah,
Now look.
Yes. Well, they, oh, this is stunning stuff.
Oh my God, no, you haven't tasted it. But anyway, go on. Speak back down.
So he's, I mean, it's there's
did
almost...
Did he have a restaurant?
He did, yeah. He used to have a, he used to own a restaurant. Basically, he had a whole life before I was born where he managed restaurants and a place called Piaf's and Pippin's, places in...
Heard of Pippin's.
Yeah. He was amazing. I mean, he was, he was the assistant to Robert Carrier when he was a...
Oh my God. Do you know who Robert Carrier is?
No.
Right, he was kind of the first cookbook person with the most amazing colours of the cooking. It was probably the most boring pictures, but very vibrant colours.
Oh, I think the pictures, when you look back at them now, they have a certain kind of potency.
They're about 650s and 60s, aren't
yes.
they?
Yes, yeah. So my dad's 81... So he's been around a while, but he was kind of in the back. So as well as being the front of these books and magazines, I think Robert Carrier was like one of the first sort of celebrity chefs on TV as well.
He's a celebrity chef.
So my dad was the kind of like quiet Greek like
so
kitchen
he was like
boy
the kitchen and test.
Yeah, in the background, kind of like you know, and he had this amazing life of being a chef, but then. When things started becoming kind of vegetarian and things like that, he got scared and sold his restaurant.
I know, I understand this, but yeah. Go on.
So I should have had him here. Anyway, so he sort of ended up having this whole new life when he met my mum, and he basically was quite old. So he
is your mum a bit younger?
Like 7-8 years.
So she looks
she looks fantastic. She does at the moment, yeah. I mean, so he actually he has dementia now, which is a hellscape.
Sorry.
It feels weird to talk about him without saying that. But he's heaven, you know. He's like
so. It's at home with your mum.
He is at home with my mum. But yeah, he's just you know the lucky thing about that is that you know there's a certain eccentricity that comes with dementia, and he. Has been the maddest man I've ever met in my life since I was born. So it's sort of just like a different direction of weirdness,
right.
Kind of thing. So it's still kind of in keeping with everything. It's, yeah.
So your dad, it was the chef
at the dinner table.
Because he worked evenings, it wasn't the most traditional setup cooking wise. My mum ended up working evenings as well. So
what did your mum do?
She was a nanny. She kind of was like, she did various things that she still does. She's been a nanny. She was a reflexologist.
So no one was there when you were in the evening?
Yeah. Well, look, I wasn't neglected or anything.
Who
it was just
after you?
Well, this is from the age of like 11. They were doing that. I just sort of telly, I suppose. But also they were very loving. My parents are amazing. My mum is unbelievably loving, but like just, you know, needed...
Money. He was in the house.
Just me and my sister. But they'd get back at like 8 and
oh,
it was
they
fine.
Got back early.
Yeah, yeah.
What
so,
did you eat?
So right, yes. Yeah. So we would basically there was a long period of I think me and my sister are control freaks in a lot of ways and insisted eventually because we got used to this thing of cooking off for ourselves in the evening. We got used to this thing of cooking for ourselves. So it started with like crap pot noodle and we were like
we
were going
though.
I mean, yeah. Like when we learned, me and my sister once had a huge row over the amount of water you put in one of those Blue Dragon packets. You know when you get things?
Absolutely.
Literally that led to like my head being slammed into the stove because we had such a disagreement about the amount of water.
Freaky.
That's what happens when you leave kids alone on their own to make dinner.
Anger problem there.
Yeah. But before that, I mean, when I was a kid, my parents obviously amazing cooks, but we just wanted dinner earlier, so we'd cook for ourselves. And then eventually that sort of spun into like, I need to have something that isn't beige. So what are the basics I can learn? And then they would sort of feed in little things like, I think the foundation of being able to eat well is knowing how to make a tomato sauce and knowing how to make a salad. If you have a tomato sauce, you can dress anything. And if you can dress a salad, you can kind of dress anything. So olive oil, lemon, salt was the kind of like, top line of my childhood. If you can, if you have olive oil, lemon, salt, everything's going to be fine.
Oh, wow, Jess.
This, oh my God.
Wow.
Who
I've
is
heard
that?
About your girlfriend. I've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
She, are we allowed to talk about
Oh, yeah, 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 of course.
Oh, is my she a chef, God. A professional chef?
Well, as of about 2 years ago, she's basically in the lockdown. The lockdown happened to start. She left her job like a month before.
What and was her
so
job before?
She was working for a TV production company. And she worked in politics before that. She was basically trying to find what it was she wanted to do, and it just came at a really bad time. During lockdown, she was like trying. Thank you. She was trying to keep herself busy while I was off desperately trying to write series 3 of my show. Thank you.
And Satellite.
Yeah, Satellite, the stupidest title that's ever been given to a TV.
It's so clever.
It's, honestly, he is the most adorable character.
Isn't he? Annoying
yeah.
too.
Yeah, oh
no,
yeah.
He's...
Oh no, he's annoying. I think annoying. We can all agree he's annoying.
Well, I
you
really...
Don't annoying?
And I honestly loved it so much. And actually, I hadn't watched it until we went on Sunday Brunch and Katie Wicks was on it.
Oh, you went on the same
Yeah,
time.
And she
cool.
was on it promoting her book and Steph Let's Fats. Yeah. And I was like, I need to watch this. And it was, yeah, it's fucking great.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, yeah, that, I really appreciate that. I'm sort of, I kind of think my opinion on the show is truly based on what other people think of it. So
wouldn't
anytime I hear someone say it's nice.
If it wasn't brilliant.
Oh, well, we'll see. So during lockdown, I was... Claire and I were... She was trying to work out how she could fill her time, be productive, not get bogged down by everything.
Yeah.
And she decided she was going to never cook the same thing twice. She's a very kind of... she's aggressively opinionated about food and always has been, and is very, very naturally good cook.
My
has
God.
Sort of been cooking since she was a kid, and she was, but she's never kind of explored it as a career path. Anyway, so during lockdown, she was like bored, and I guess if you're trying to cook, if you never want to cook the same thing twice, you hit like 3 weeks, and you're like, oh, I guess I'm gonna have to start learning how to make stuff, because we assumed the lockdown wouldn't go on as long as it did, and then it did. And by the end, she kind of had racked up this whole, like, endless album of and it was actually, like, it was becoming weird how good the food was. It was like, this shouldn't be as good as it is. Anyway, she sent off, she sent all, she was like, I could, like, this seems like something I could maybe do. Is this something? She's just trying to work. And she happened to send off to, like, all the food stylists around just to be, like, are these something? And almost all of them... got back in touch.
So she's a food stylist.
And she's like been working as for The Guardian for everyone
That's
as a
great.
Food stylist for like a year. And just literally off. It's been like very rare
Should
person who benefited from that.
Mother.
I mean, yeah. It's all very exciting. But it means that. But now she's like on this endless kind of endeavor to like be kind of seasonal and she's really really right. getting into it all and it's. Very, very. I mean, it's so whack to be like, lucky me, full tummy, and all that. But it is actually like so lovely.
Mum, you need to hear Jamie's voice.
Have you got a gorgeous?
He's got really good, like it's like verging on Jessie J trilling.
Are you basing this on? Are you basing this on the Staff songs?
Yeah.
Right.
What is that Staff song?
Oh, the Lullaby to Dina.
Yeah.
It's good fun, is what it is.
I'll go and sing it.
Did you make that up, or is that another?
Oh no, of course, yeah, no, I made it up. Yeah.
Did you sing when you were younger?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a crossroads when I was in my late teens. It was like sincerity or comedy, and sincerity was represented in music. I was in a band and taking myself really
what
seriously.
Were you called?
Well, we were called the Alphabeat, and then that band Alphabeat came along with Fascination, and I think we had a conversation and a practice where we discussed, we were like, okay, we need to change our name, and I was like, I think the conversation went into, or we could just break up because I'm not sure we're already into this music.
whether
it's any good.
What was the music you were making?
It was very sort of the time when people were singing in a London accent.
Oh, New Wave.
Well, more... yes, but more kind of like...
Who were you
I
inspired
suppose,
by? Jamie T?
Oh, I would have Claxons? Loved to have been Julian Casablancas.
Okay.
But I wasn't. There's no... The Strokes. So there's no, like, London
Strokes.
Equivalent.
So, okay, so you were a bit Strokes, bit...
Oh, I was I don't know. I don't know who we were. I think I was just like... Basically, I just went to uni instead. I really wanted to go to drama school. I wasn't getting in anywhere. My sister was like... I just had the maddest time at Leeds. She went to Leeds and basically just had a sort of party time there. And I hadn't really considered uni because in my head I always had drama school. But I was thick. Like, I was not ready. I didn't know anything about theatre. I didn't know anything about anything. I was like a kind of, you know, the Stath, the show that I write, is all about people wanting to be something or famous without putting any effort in, because that is how I was. I was just sort of like, yeah, that'd be wicked. And then I'll just get all the glory and I don't have to do anything. And like, you know, it's about other stuff apart from that. That's quite,
that's quite a sweet.
But it is, you know, that's what Sophie's character is about.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then I was like, do you know what? I actually have to do something. And somehow I got into Bristol. I did drama, but it was under the banner of film, theatre and television. That was the department. But so I got to learn how to edit and stuff, which was useful because the kind of the world that was coming around was all about making little videos for the internet. So I would edit little videos of myself and send them places, doing different characters. Like, Stath was born out of a conversation I had with John Petrie, who's was working for Rough Cut at the time with Ash Taller, who made my show. And
I had a night at Bungalow 8 with.
Of course you did.
Whenever that was a thing. And he was very good fun.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
I like Ash.
He's a lot of fun. And also, you know, I grew up, like, literally with The Office on my shrine. Like, you know, and he made that. Anyway, so I had this chat with John. And he was... I had this voice that I'd been doing for ages. That sort of nasal kind of Greek kind of twist. Sort of London Greek guy kind of thing. And he was like... We were talking about letting agencies and how it's a funny job because more often than not, you're put off by the letting agent. If they're pointing at the... Do you know what I mean? If it's like the amount of times I've been in a situation where it's been like... So as you can see, that... Don't look at that. That's... that is... It does smell. It does smell. But trust me, in time, the smell will subside. Like that.
My brother-in-law's an estate agent.
And I bet he's the best guy.
He's very kind.
He actually does very well for himself.
I will say that since doing the show, I'm constantly, obviously, in life, you have to find flats. And they're always so lovely. Everyone's so lovely, but they also always deflect. They deflect the impression of, I'll tell you what, you're an awful lot of someone who works in our office.
When you're in Bristol, yes. The food's really good there.
Did you go to the Tarley Cafe?
I was skint, man.
Oh.
I honestly was like packed lunch for 3 years.
What did you cook as a student because you were skint?
Oh, man.
Were you sick of pot noodles by that point?
Oh, yeah. I think if you're going to have a kind of dried noodle kind of with hot water kind of thing, pot noodle isn't the way to go anymore. I don't know what it is. There's nothing Asian about it.
No. I think it's...
Which is not that they're trying to be that. I do. There's MSG a wonderfulness to it. Would you rather have that than say, like, I don't know.
It's cheap, though.
It is cheap, but so are, like, any kind of packet noodles. There's just so many better packet noodles than pot noodle.
I rediscovered pot noodles on a flight back from Greece when my daughter, who had...
We had them coming back from Tenerife.
She still talks about that meal on that flight.
Do you know what I don't get about it? Well, number one, it's...
Chicken and mushroom.
It's actually aggressively savoury.
Umami.
I love that.
Laden with umami.
Look, who doesn't like umami? Umami is, you know, I don't have to tell you.
If it's too wet, if all the flavours in the you end up with it too wet.
Right, yeah. Do you know those chunks that you get at the bottom?
I know, the little...
The soya chunks.
What are they?
They're not meat.
Wow. But you know what? I think that is like where kind of food chic lives now, right? The acceptance of the deliciousness of like a Dorito or something. It's like everyone, like, that is like, I do think that the kind of fashion at the moment is to be like, just fuck, let's have some bloody Pomodoro and some Doritos, who cares?
There's like, what's his face? White Russian, one of the chefs. Have you heard of White Russian?
No.
So he does like, he'll do caviar with a Dorito, or is it? No, he'll do it with a Monster Munch.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
I get that.
Do you, Mum?
Pickled
onion Monster Munch with a bit of caviar.
I think you'd go a long way to find the taste of a Watsit. I love Watsits.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. Do you not?
Well,
you don't. Like a pot noodle, but not a Watsit.
Listen, I would go for the salt and vinegar chips. Do you remember those ones?
Oh, they look like chipsticks.
Yeah. I got them for my kid the other day, and I was like, these are fucking great.
Did you ever cook at home?
Yes,
during uni.
I was all right at cooking. I was good. I was all right. I did for my final piece at university. I did this whole stand-up show about my relationship with my dad, and it was all very kind of abstract theatre and stuff like that. So I had to kind of do something 80s like that. So I cooked three legs of lamb.
Was this your stand-up?
Yeah, yeah. I cooked three legs of lamb and put fans behind them to fill the room with the smell of lamb. So when everyone was watching it, the show smelled like my relationship between me and my dad.
What's the name of that theatre?
And this would be in like a pub.
No, this was in my uni sort of, I don't know.
Finished your piece.
Yeah.
What did you get for that?
Oh, I can't remember, something bad probably.
Did
but it was
you
a bit.
The lamb later.
I had it. It was yum. It was really nice. See, I used to love cooking stuff like that, and I really did really get into cooking. But when I met my girlfriend and she started cooking, I literally just stopped because it's embarrassing.
I don't blame you,
dude. But what's her favourite thing that you cook for her?
She doesn't cook anymore, Dolly. No, it's quite clear.
I'm not. Well, do you know what? There's one thing that I cooked, and it's a revelation when I do something right. I kind of stumbled upon, I was trying to make, basically there's a restaurant in LA, if you go out there, called Pine and Crane, which is my favourite restaurant in the world. It's a Taiwanese place in Silver Lake.
Ooh.
It is extraordinary. It's so good. Anyway, I was trying to recreate their noodles, and I didn't have a recipe, and I sort of managed to make them, and that is something that I can do that she will enjoy from time to time. But I get so nervous cooking now that I always mess it up. But it's like it's sort of peanut butter with sesame oil and that kind of vibe, and sort of a nice thick kind of like peanutty sauce.
So the after party's about to come out.
It's yeah.
And it's 28th. Like, I mean, look, you've made a name for yourself with Steph Let's Flats, but this is like, does this feel like a step? And obviously, Eurovision, one of my favourite films ever.
Oh, yeah, actually.
That cheered me up so much.
It was a lovely film.
Honestly, like, that film was so brilliant because it was completely honest that they loved Eurovision. It wasn't taking the piss out of it.
Totally.
It was bringing all the kind of joyful elements of it. Anyway, but, like, After Party, like, it's a big lineup.
Yeah, it is.
It's Apple TV.
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, as an actor,
you kind of... Is it a murder mystery?
It is, yeah. It's a proper whodunit kind of thing. And it's all told from each
episode. Have you got a good... Do you like your character in it? Is it good?
I do, yeah. It's kind of... It's very different to stuff I've done before. I mean, I'm doing an American accent in it.
How
was
it?
Which is like... It's
go and try it on this.
Was it,
no
was
way.
It, go
oh,
on.
The pain
did
of
you, did you have a dialect coach?
Well, I did, but I got the job without a dialect coach. So my audition, which I literally thought would just be chucked in the bin because you're so used to auditioning for American stuff and it doesn't go anywhere. And it was like, oh, I've got it, and I'm going to go to LA for 4 months during lockdown, and it's going to be really weird. And I was like there for Christmas Day and New Year's on my own in an Airbnb.
Oh.
It was wild.
Put you in touch with Anna.
That would have been lovely.
But it's so funny.
Did the girlfriend go with?
No, I wasn't allowed to. It was high COVID time. No one was allowed to travel. It was very difficult to get over there. But the guy who made it, Chris Miller, did like amazing stuff, Last Man on Earth, and the Lego movies, and Into the Spider-Verse. They're, Lord and Miller, who make it, are like really have an amazing reputation. And I was like, we'll see what happens. Did an American accent, and yeah, got it. Blew my mind.
So when you were making this, you were on your own in Los Angeles. Didn't know anybody.
No, I knew John Early from the cast a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And it's COVID.
Pardon.
And it's COVID time.
High COVID. And American COVID, which is very different. Yeah.
About not breaking the rules or like getting COVID.
You did wear a mask. They wear masks everywhere, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, very much. Mask in the street. But it's, the whole system.
So, what were you doing? Like, what were you... Because I read something about you getting really into football.
Yeah. I honestly...
Because you were so homesick.
Well, I know who you support, so I'm just going to bleed into this.
Yeah.
So, I was in... I was there and I'd sort of been, this had been kind of trickling in. I was trying to write staff, and when I'm writing the show, I try and not watch any comedy to not be intimidated. And I'm like, oh, I've got nothing to watch and I want something to last for ages. And I'm like, what?
I bet it's Tottenham.
Yeah.
That's okay, my husband.
Because you're almost Jewish as well. So it just worked, and you'd never been into football.
Well, I kind of—I think growing up, because I was shit at sports, and I was really into drama.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, honestly, it's changed my life. I kind of feel I didn't like eggs until I was 24, and I feel like I like eggs so much more as a result because I didn't like them so late. And I think that I am like, honestly, I'm still excited by the variants. scramble, you know, all the stuff.
Yeah. I'm talking about COVID variants.
No. I know, I'm excited. You know, that's fascinating. But
football, there's nothing that makes you feel so good.
Oh, but you can, when it's you just win. Pure, it, totally. It's, but it's also like, I kind of think, because it's so easy if you're crap at something to reject it. And football is such an easy thing to be like, it's pointless. It's literally people kicking a fucking ball around a fucking green. Like,
it's life.
And it is. Life. And I was looking for something to watch that would keep my attention, that wasn't a drama and didn't end, and I can just use these 4 months to just like binge. And I was like, the Premier League never ends, and I'm going to make an informed decision about who I want to support based on where I live and what the teams are like. And I was like, they're so funny, and like their trajectory is so like sweet, and they're like, there's a constant, it's not like a glory hunt, but it's like, in the, it's also not too devastating. It's
definitely not a glory hunt.
No, definitely. But it's like, it's just, I honestly, I'm a I'm a season ticket holder. I love it. I live for it. It's like, I know everything about, but do you know what the other thing is as well?
How did you get a season ticket?
Because of COVID, so many people sold theirs.
Well, he shares one with like 4 other people.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I love it so much. And the thing about it as well is like, because I don't grow up with anyone being like, fuck everyone else, I just am sort of, I'm sort of into every team. I get something out of everyone.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Last Supper, Jamie.
Okay.
Starter, main, pud, drink of choice.
It's impossible, this question, but... So what I will say is there'll be no kind of fluidity between the courses. That's it's not okay. Going to be like a whole... It's not going to be like this makes sense to have all next to each other.
Okay.
What I'm just, you know, thinking about this... Do you know what? In fact, thinking about this in the build-up, I've been thinking about it for a few days, and, you know, I love listening to the podcast, and I happened upon... And I don't listen to it in any particular order, and I landed on Nigella's episode...
Yeah.
And
landed.
The first two things of her thing were exactly the same as mine. I was going to say...
I can't actually remember what Nigella did.
Basically, I was going to say what I am always after, which I just don't think there's enough of in the UK, is an amazing guacamole. Like, a perfect guacamole that I don't
know... Where have you had your perfect guacamole?
At Salazar in LA is like...
Salazar? I don't know these places.
It's truly... It just made me
feel
like
I've
never... Did
you have a foodie friend that took you out to these places, or were you scoping
out?
Well,
I sort of... I got scoping, I guess. Okay. But I also have had...
When he was reading his back copies of Tottenham Hotspur...
When he was up after the Premier League. Yeah.
And he was reading back programmes, and then he thought, I'll change it up a bit.
I had the Michelin Guide in one hand, Tottenham Premier League.
And Match in the other.
Yeah. Match. But, so I would love that. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, I'm obsessed with pickles. So again, these things don't necessarily go together, but I would love a massive bowl of like proper guacamole with like tortilla chips. And I would also like Katz's pickles from just those half
Katz's
sour
Deli
ones.
Deli in New York.
Yeah, exactly. You just don't.
The big ones.
Yeah.
What,
but
cucumbers?
That half,
they're not that sweet.
They're like half sour ones.
Yeah.
They're almost
they're like
they've
new
maintained,
greens.
Yeah, they've maintained their greenness.
The new greens.
What are
they're
new
called
greens?
New greens. What are new greens? Cucumbers. They're pickled cucumbers, but they pickle a new cucumber, and they don't deeply pickle them and jar them. They're just lightly pickled, and they're called new greens.
Thank you, Mum, for that.
Wait, why can I get new greens?
You can
in
East London.
Whereabouts? I live in
where?
East London. Whereabouts?
Or in North Panzers will have new greens.
Okay, right.
It's my favourite deli.
Only talk about Panzers.
Okay, I don't go further afield because it's...
Panzers is good fun.
Panzers is great.
Oh, I love it.
Mm, totally. Okay. Well, I mean, that's a great... Do you know what? Genuinely, I felt like I didn't know where... basically, I've always called them half sour. That's what they call them over there. Yeah, that kind of... The greenness.
Yeah, they're called New Greens.
I need to learn how to...
They're crunchy.
Do it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. There's a crunch to them and it's like... I feel like when...
We can make them.
I think we can make them.
What I'm saying. But it's also like, I just don't trust myself. And there's the excitement of being served something.
Yes.
But I also feel like there's always... In like posh restaurants or like... sort of like hipstery restaurants, there's always East like London, an emphasis on the vinegar. They're so strong in vinegar and I want there to be like an even kind of like savouriness to them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what they have in spades over there.
Okay,
now,
so is that the starter?
I guess so. There are a few like things that I'd love to put on a subcategory there, but I just...
No, go do
it's
it.
Sad to, well, I kind of was thinking, it's difficult to, whenever you ask this question, it's difficult to put breakfast foods on it because it always feels like a dinner question.
Do you love breakfast?
And now not you love particularly.
Eggs. Eggs
were going to make it. I feel like...
Why didn't you like eggs?
I had it in my head that they were like an oval fart when I was growing up.
Oh, they're smelly.
Right, yeah. My dad, I always just got confused with the idea of like, people being like, your fart smells like egg. Can I have an egg? It just never made sense to me.
Jesus.
Now you've just mentioned your dad there.
Well, my dad was an unbelievable cook. But yeah. Like with all cooks, when he gets home...
He doesn't want to cook.
Well, he does, but he's not doing it right. So the morning was like... You know how like... The Seven Dwarves in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves are carried along by the smell of Snow White's cooking... Like mine, like my dad's cooking, like would travel into my room and push me under my covers, like abysmal scents, like all just burning fish at 5 o'clock in the morning kind of thing. Because he's like, I don't know, he's just got he had. That's what I mean.
He's eccentric.
He just loved doing the thing that would be the most difficult thing to do at any given time. You know, even with his situation at the moment, it's like he just brings an endless level of comedy joy to my life. And like, I mean, this is such a segue, but I do think it might be worth telling.
Go on.
Basically, recently I've been spending a lot of time at home because when I finished staff, I was able to, you know, I was so busy for like 14 months and I really, you know, didn't get to sit at home and actually like be with my dad and see what's going on and stuff. And like, I actually had some time over Christmas to like properly do like the weeks to kind of like just be around taking for walks and stuff. And it was just like, it was, you know, it's tough, but it was also like, you really have to embrace the humor in all of it. And there's so much funny stuff going on all the time. Like have you seen The Rescue?
No.
I couldn't recommend it.
Is this
more highly.
The one about the Thai?
Yeah, it's about the Thai boys
in the cave.
Exactly.
I've heard it's amazing.
And my two highest recommendations of the past 2 months are The Rescue and The Apprentice.
Where's it on?
The latest series of The Apprentice. It's on Disney.
Is it a National Geographic?
It is a National Geographic. Yeah. It's unbelievable. But I was like, this is a banker. I can show this over Christmas. That'll be fun. But then as soon as it started, I remember that a lot of it's subtitled and my dad doesn't really read subtitles because he finds it quite hard to read English. So I was like, okay, do you know what? I'm just going to be an unbelievable son and I'm going to scream, and he's partly deaf. And I was like, I'm going to scream the subtitles at him when they come out, like in the living room, so he knows what's going on. So like throughout this film, which is like so full of drama, I'm like, We had to get there before the oxygen levels ran out in the cave, because as much as the morale was a big part of it, we had to find a way to ensure they survived as well as being happy. And he's looking at me like, oh, okay, thanks. Right, thank you very much. And then he's watching the thing like, And then I'd be like, and then at the point that we discovered the pH levels in the water, we started to get incredibly worried. It's like, And then after an hour of me, literally like my eyes popping out of my skull because I'm trying to get this information. And I'm also trying to like transcribe it in a way that he understands because it's like with clarity. And he's like, And then after an hour, he's like, Jay, could you please don't... I really want to watch the film. Can you stop telling me about your life?
Oh.
And I was like... And it's like, you should have seen the veins in my head. I was like, I'd been like literally screeching to try and get him to hear. I've been screaming at him.
And
I was
you were
like,
trying to do it in the sound, the voices.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I really want to watch this, please. And I was like, oh, okay, right. So the misconception here, number one, you think that, from what I'm saying, it would have sounded like I recently rescued a Thai football team from a cave. Are you not interested in that? If you think that I did do that, why aren't you interested in that? And number two, aren't you surprised by the coincidental nature of my story and the film that's occurring? Why are you choosing to tell me this at the time that I'm watching a film about the exact same? What are the odds that you also single-handedly rescued a school football team from a cave in Thailand?
Is he still cooking?
For his sins, he is still cooking. But it's always been... He can't remember that I'm... He couldn't remember that I was a vegetarian pre-dementia. So, I mean, good luck now. But it's like, I kind of enjoy the chat, to be honest. Mm. A lot of like, not even... You just go through every meat with not even before it. Not even lamb? No. Not even chicken? No.
He sounds so sweet.
Oh, he's gorgeous. And, you know, me and Tash... You know, you asked me earlier about where we get our comedy from. And it is like... I think that Staff, as a show, is like all about people with no filter and no kind of like...
Yeah.
There's a kind of feeling of like, well, no kind of social compromise. It's just like, well, that's the thing that I want to say. So, of course, say it. Imagine if I didn't say it. Mm. And that's kind of... That is like the essence of comedy. And it was literally in my house growing up. I mean, like, I'm criticised always talking about my dad, but it's impossible not to when he's like... the force of life that he is.
Are you going to get the chocolate and olive oil cake? Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
There's a chocolate and olive oil cake.
Yeah, is that okay? Do you like chocolate?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let's get back to your poo. We're on mains.
We're on mains. Okay, so the main is... right. I toed and froed about it because I've been a vegetarian now for... sorry, Lenny.
I won't feature
meat just because in past...
It'll piss Lenny off.
Look, there's so much meat that I can remember being astonishing, but I was thinking about like what is the food over the past few years that's brought me the most joy, and as lame as it is, during lockdown, Claire, sort of my girlfriend cooking what she did just like brought me heaven. And it's actually completely changed. Like, I used to be really... I think because I grew up never really going to restaurants and stuff. Mm. When I, like, started working, I was like, oh my God, I've got to go to, like, every Michelin star restaurant in London. And while those things are fun,
yeah.
I think the truth is that she has kind of brought to me is, like, the best stuff isn't the kind of most sort of, like, insane, refined kind of, like, corner of the world stuff. And so, like, she's really just... I felt like I hadn't eaten pasta for, like, 5 years, and she's big into her pastas and freshly made pastas. Oh, so for my main, I was going to say I want 3 of her pastas, and I want a kind of Mrs. Doubtfire of them. So, like, 3 situations where there's pasta and I'm running from each one to the other. So, mm-hmm. because you don't want to have 3 pastas on one table. So there's, like, 3 scenarios of pasta.
Okay.
So I'm thinking... I want to be a bit ill and be on the couch and having an alioli olio with loads of parsley and some chili flakes, but just like a really beautiful... But spaghetti, they're all sort of going to be spaghetti because there's no more satisfying texture than a piece of spaghetti. So I want that.
Yeah.
On the couch, and then I wanted
Claire making it, looking after you.
Stunning. She sort of comes in, and we're watching something, and it's nice, and it's
it
like.
It sounds like cosplay. It's almost like I feel like we're learning about your Bumble chats.
No. Sorry. Carry this is rank. By the way, I honestly sorry, Claire. This is rank. And no, I wouldn't do that. That sounds shit. I'm not doing that. So the next thing I want, I want to go over to a big table full of all my mates and I want to have a massive sort of like bowl of arrabbiata, like a big, big spaghetti arrabbiata to like sort of sharing.
I need cocoa. Have you got any?
Sure.
And a jug.
No, that's quite all right. Yeah, so this is a chocolate and olive oil cake.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that cake looks madly delicious.
So, okay, we got to number two, Arrabbiata.
Oh, right, yeah, one
with
of
your friends.
Yeah, yeah,
so
around the table.
Arrabbiata. What is the last situation?
So the last one is I've not really thought this analogy through. Basically, the last one is a pasta she cooked me once, which is it's like a thick spaghetti called peachy. It's like hand rolled. It's like quite. It's sort of like a bit knobbly. It's like kind of like.
It's like kind of knobbly worms.
It's sort of yeah. And that with like an almond basil pesto with like when like pesto is like super bright green.
Yeah.
And pestle and mortar kind of proper.
Wow.
Yeah. That.
And Claire does that great.
She does, yeah. I do feel like that's grotesque to be going on about my girlfriend's cooking.
I think it's
but she's honestly. Honestly,
I'd like Claire to come
it's
and
been
cook for
it's
us.
Been a true it's
Claire
been like such a revelation
tonight.
Because she's like having I mean yeah
she should have come.
She was well up for it actually. She actually her and her flatmate Stan got me into the podcast.
Aww.
and then
Love
I was
her.
Loving every second of it.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Did you make this today?
I made it this morning. Mum did this.
Thank you, Lenny.
But oh. I don't know whether it's any good.
It's nice.
It's, I can.
Do you like creme fraiche or
yes.
do you like double cream?
Creme fraiche and no. What would you recommend? Creme fraiche seems right for olive oil and chocolate, no?
Yeah,
feels like it's in the same universe. What are you going to have?
I don't know.
You don't? Come on.
Yeah, no,
I will.
I'm not actually...
I'm not a
have
sweet person, she said.
I always say that. I want half of that, actually. I'm going to have cream.
Okay. So, for dessert, I mean, the thing is, I want to name check. I feel like I'm so heavily reliant on the restaurants in my area to bring me joy, especially like...
So where do you go? Where's your...
Oh, my God. Well, Little Duck Picklery.
I knew you were going to say that because of the pickling stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
They're very good.
I mean, I could basically make my whole menu up of Little Duck Picklery, but I wanted to be more sentimental.
Raw duck went.
Yes.
I
it
really
was
liked
really
it.
Good.
I
but
loved
duck
it.
Soup, duck soup is obviously a staple of all staples. But that sounded so bad. Of course, dunk soup is a staple. Well, thank you for that spoon. Dunk soup is a staple. We all know. But no, Little Duck Picklery is just, we actually went there for on Saturday and it was just like heaven. And but yes, for my pudding, Popham's.
Yeah, I know Popham's.
So my pudding, and it is it's genuinely my favourite pudding I've ever had, is the... They do like a sticky toffee croissant pudding.
Oh, wow.
Sticky toffee croissant.
It truly is. It's a sensation.
Really?
It's really.
So, honey,
really
you have
good.
That in the morning, like when you just get
no,
out
no, no,
of
no,
bed.
No, 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 no. This is on their evening menu.
Oh, they have an evening. Oh,
yeah,
I didn't
yeah,
know
they
do an evening menu.
Yeah, they do like an amazing pasta menu.
Oh.
In the evening. And
you live very close to there.
I literally.
That's
dangerous. Yeah, I really do. But, yeah, so that would... I can't think of a pudding I've ever had that's topped that. There have been puddings that have come and gone, but that... I also, like, don't... Yeah, hang on, I haven't had a bite.
This is very nice, Mum. Light as a feather.
Mmm.
This is
well,
really nice.
I'm really happy I went with creme fraiche as well.
Nigella, but it's not made with chocolate, it's made with cocoa.
Oh. Wasn't that kind of chocolate?
Yeah, but it's chocolate... It's powder.
Wait, have I done all my courses
You've
then?
Done all your courses.
I didn't without even realising. That's how the natural flow of this conversation is ebbing.
I need to ask.
Please.
You've clearly got a gorgeous voice. What's your karaoke song?
I always get really embarrassed doing karaoke, right? And, but bear with me, I know this is hell.
Are you shy?
I'm not shy. I feel like I have a chip on my shoulder, which is like, I don't know how to sing in like a fun way. Do you know what I mean
by
that?
You take it quite seriously.
I don't... Right, exactly. I can't handle the thought of sort of like being sat at a dinner table and really singing my heart out.
What, like
would
about
I would love
to
just sort of come on Eileen and muck around, but that's not
yeah.
the point, is it?
No.
But I
So
yeah.
what would your song be? My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah.
What would it be?
I think the last time I did karaoke, it's been a long time because I am self-conscious about it when I do it, but it was probably lately. Stevie.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
That's
okay.
a good one. Quite slow.
Quite slow. Not right for the podcast.
No, it's gorgeous.
What's the words? Lately I've been...
Lately I've had the strangest feeling.
The
very
strangest
taking
feeling.
Me apart. What? If the thought of losing you has been... Sorry, this is
funny.
So disappointing.
No,
I know.
It's sad because I'm sorry. I'm exactly the same, by the way. But like,
Jessie hates karaoke.
I fucking hate it. But you'll know that.
Born out of having her a very, very pushy mother.
When I was a teenager, I would do some session singing from time to time. And then I got into a band and I went down that road, but then I just didn't back myself to really sing emotion.
Singing.
A little bit. So songwriters would get me to sing their songs to pitch to like Cliff Richard and people like that.
I used to do that too. Do you know about my singing Spanish Christmas songs?
No.
I had to sing. Oh, the
holly. Shut in Spanish. It was awful.
The arising of this song.
The holly, holly, you know how the Spanish say it.
Sweet singing in the choir.
Oh.
I know, how old was I? Did I get paid, Mum?
No, you were just...
Were you proud?
You were grown up.
I was 15, I think. And I was singing, oh, the holly and the ivy.
Oh, wait, no.
Oh, the rising why does that, of why? The sun.
Wait, you had to sing the holly and the ivy in a Spanish accent.
Why Who did was you do it?
I don't know. It was for a Spanish Christmas. I don't know.
Why did the Spanish Christmas
Maybe
not want it in Spanish?
Maybe it's out there somewhere. Maybe it's out there. Sweet singing in the choir.
Yeah, no.
So was your session singing like that, where you had to sing in Spanish?
I remember
accent?
I had to. No. Funnily enough, I didn't know.
You missed out.
I do remember having to pitch a song to Cliff Richard called... Sorry, I can't breathe. I haven't spoken about this for like 25 years.
Yeah, exclusive. Love it.
I had to sing a song to pitch to Cliff Richard called I Owe It All to Rock and Roll.
Stop. Can you remember how it goes?
Oh my God.
I think you can. Come on.
Or the title is all you need. I would just sing the title, which I don't. No. It's not happening because I'm worried.
Did he not take it?
I don't know. I think I don't know if I do. What's a rock and roll? Here's a funny fact. My dad, growing up, my dad's sort of like fact that he'd always tell me anytime Cliff Richard was mentioned, which is why I was so excited by this. He'd go, I weirdly had a big relationship with Cliff Richard from afar. he'd go anytime I mentioned him, he'd go, you know the thing about Cliff Richard? I was born same day, same hour, same year, same month, everything as him, everything. And I'd always be like, I don't know who Cliff Richard is, but that's quite cool. I'm going to like go into school being like, people be talking about, yeah, my dad's a fireman. Yeah, my dad's actually born on the same day, same year as Cliff Richard. And we're like, who's Cliff Richard? It's like, and then be like, the Lord's Prayer cover? Anyway, I was part of a theatre company when I was younger, growing up, called Chicken Shed Theatre Company.
I am in love with the world.
I sang that on Top of the Pops.
Shut up!
Yeah, when I was a kid. Well, I was one of the many people in the chorus.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Why did you do Chicken Shed?
Just because do you know what? So when my dad ran a restaurant, so sweetly, one of the founding members had a birthday there. And for people who don't know, Chicken Shed Theatre Company is like an inclusive theatre company for people with learning disabilities, all sort of abilities. Mm. And they came in and they were having dinner at his restaurant to celebrate. And he came out and the birthday girl was, she had cerebral palsy, so she needed help eating and stuff. And he came out and was like, sat with them and helped with the food and stuff like that. And they said, we're starting up a theatre company in a church at the time. And I was like four, and I'd been like, I want to do acting, please. And they mentioned that they were doing like a drama club in a church. And he was like, I got to do a thing in the church. You do acting in there? And then it ended up becoming this big thing in North London.
Did you love doing it?
Well, I did it from the age of 5 to 21.
Wow.
Yeah, I was there for a long time. I went to college there. Like, it was like my life forever. I loved it. It taught me so much.
Jamie, I know that you're a fan of the podcast and I hope that we haven't disappointed you, but I feel like we have got some information about food in there somewhere in this chat.
Sorry.
But do you have good table manners?
I think so. I was asking who my flatmate I was with today this, and I think I'm eating with my mouth full right now.
I mean, to be fair, because we haven't stopped.
I try to.
And what's your worst table manner in somebody else, Jamie?
Oh, okay. I'm generally all right. I think my one big bugbear. Oh, actually, this is sort of beyond table manners, but it's sort of something that happens. I have two things. Number one is that smell that you get on your clothes in certain restaurants. Do you know the one I'm talking about? It doesn't have a name.
And it may have been the greatest meal of your life, but you resent them the next
day. Totally. Yeah. There are some restaurants like A Name and Shame who have it. I literally... Places that I love the food and I'm like...
I'm going to smell like shit the next day.
I literally left one of them and a dog ran up to me and, and I thought I was like a poo or something. Why isn't there a name? I feel like there should be like... That should be part of like... A health rating, right? What is it? Is it like oil in the air?
You always get it.
I've never noticed it.
Oh yeah.
I used to work with Robert Hoffer, and he used to do a thing where he hated it so much. After a restaurant, he'd always smell his knee because he'd be like, "If my knee smells, then it's really bad."
Why? Because it's like travelled to your knee.
If you're smelling your jacket, then it's like it kind of like I don't know. It's like your knee shouldn't be smelling after a dinner.
I'm maybe gonna try that one.
So that smell is one thing, and then the other is I really struggle with an ab. Like, look, I'm not suggesting there should always be a seating plan, but when it's like a seating plan decided by arrival times, it's hell.
By arrival,
you know when you. Arrival time.
So you end up with all the duff people at the wrong end.
Well, duff is a strong word. I suppose it's just like the wrong order of people. If I had my way, they would be
the best people.
Well, no, I don't. I just want to be next to someone that I like. Say you're going for a dinner with like a catch up. It's someone's birthday dinner with like 10 mates. It's like you're going to celebrate that person's birthday. Look, there's nothing wrong with meeting someone new. Sometimes a wonderful thing happens. But if you've had like a long day at work and you really just want to enjoy the dinner and be in a kind of party scenario...
But then who should sit next to that person?
Decided by the seating plan that should, I think... I never do seating plans, by the way.
This is quite Larry David, but I'm into it.
Oh my God, it happens in the new series of Curb, doesn't
it? Oh, does it?
Do you know what? There's no bad people. There's just bad combinations at bad times. And the thing that's born out of it, which is actually ultimately the table manner in question that I find to be a problem, is seeing someone at the table who keeps trying to get their story out and can't. And there's a few people who are culprits for the reason they can't get it out.
God, I think I am.
No. But it's fine because the people who are saying the stories are usually the best. But I can't handle seeing someone in the middle of a table going, please go on, kind of thing. And I find myself literally locking eyes with that person all night, being like, I'm gonna get you a chance to say that story. Oh. And more often than not, the story isn't. It's fine. But I just am like,
so you've got anxiety.
If you don't have the right people around them, then it's like. Then they kind of live in a wall of noise that they're never going to break out of. And I find it at every dinner I go to, I just spend the whole thing with sweat dripping down the back of my neck watching this person being like, oh man.
That's highly stressful.
I think it comes from having a really bassy, loud voice and definitely always being able to just be like, and when I was 14... And seeing someone be like, well, I think about olive oil chocolate cake is...
You know what? We've never had that one on the podcast. And I understand that one.
I just inhaled so much cocoa.
Sorry.
I took a bite. No, it's my bad.
Some chocolate here.
I took a big, deep breath as I went to bite... bite the cake. And it's now... My esophagus is now, like, speckled.
Okay, and whilst we kill Jamie, thank you so much for being on the podcast,
thank
Jamie.
Thank you so much. I had the best time. This has been a dream come true. Thank you.
Jamie Dimitriou, he's very sweet.
He's gorgeous, darling.
So sweet. And I liked two very, very valid points. Three different pasta scenarios, which I appreciated. Mm-hmm. And also the seating plan. No one's talked about that, but that is a bugbear of mine. And I now, I feel I understand that.
But he wanted not to mix. He wanted to be with the people he knew.
But I think. I agree.
You don't have to be the situation, person you don't know.
Maybe, no. You know, food for thought, guys. Food for thought.
I loved it when he spoke with his Greek accent.
I know. And his dad sounds so lovely. And his sister is fucking hysterical. So we'll have to get his sister on. We'll have to get him back. If you haven't watched Affleck's Flats, which I'm sure lots of you have,
You need to, because Stath is one of the sweetest characters, like, ever.
Dozy, but sweet.
And all the characters in there are so brilliant. And thank you, Jamie Dimitri, for coming on Table Manners.
Say it the way he says it. Dimitri.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. And thank you to Jamie.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.